B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Just wrote that statement down and say, hey, this was by a an ex-quarterback, right?
Yeah,
and
they
slide it across the table, right? Or I'll just say ex-athlete. Hey, who, you know, what do you think of this? And be like, you read it and you go, oh, okay. And then, like, at the bottom of the paper, you peeled something off and it said, quote, Donovan McNabb. And you're like, oh, damn it. You don't know what he's talking about. Like, that would be the reaction from most people, I think. Mm-hmm.
And we notice it. Like, for people out there to think, oh, they're having Donovan on him, that's it, you know, whatever he says is gold. No, we notice it. Like, that, we're human just like you. We hear it. We laugh when he doesn't bring up Carson's name when we ask specifically about Carson. And, yeah, I think, Mark, you made a great point. He's self-aware, more self-aware than probably we've ever known. In that, not going on the field. In that, he's a little bit hesitant to say something about Carson Wentz, good or bad, because of the way it will be taken from. But that's our job. We'll try to extract from him about Carson Wentz, because that's the guy that leads this team. And you know, he has an expertise when it comes to quarterback play.
I would say. 610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5, The Fanatic, WP and Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. When it comes to business insurance, business as usual doesn't cut it. You need an insurance partner. You need Univest Insurance. Set it up for free. Set up your free consultation, that is, and analysis today at univest.net. Set up your free consultation today and analysis at univest.net. All right. Over the line or not? This is what I want to know from fans. Now, again, I'm not telling you how to act as a fan. I'm asking you. I'm not somebody that gets to partake in a lot of the tailgate festivities. I am down there more often than I ever have now for every Eagles home game.
I consider myself a bit of an expert tailgater. I'm a practicing one.
Practicing?
Yeah, I'm practicing to become an expert.
I'm a lapse tailgater. All right, so
I'm fairly new to it.
And I've gone on the road a lot. I've done the games in Arizona, Pittsburgh, New York, D.C., I think that's about it, but in Eagles jerseys. So I have the out-of-town perspective as well.
All right. This is the exclusive, and by the way, Trey, just right out of the gate, let me just tell you, you're already an expert.
Like, remember that lounge chair, Trey, that was PhD level tailgating.
when we played the Ross Tucker sound of Jason Peters as a tight end and then just coming over to try him as a tackle, and he was like great at it immediately, that you was a tailgater.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Credit where credit is due.
Now next, my next level is going dry fit clothes. It was not a good...
No.
Especially cotton gray.
Because
any drop of sweat, boom, there it is.
I always go dry fit underneath
to keep
the sweat off
You got the nipple problem, too.
Well, there's the nipple problem, and then a case of the fats.
I got to start looking for some cooling, some type of...
What's the cure? What's the cure for the fats?
Dry fit stuff underneath your outer layer so you don't sweat through.
You have a prescription for that?
Yeah.
There's definitely a prescription.
It's a good move.
The fats.
All right.
And Gold Bond up on hot days.
This is all helpful.
Take care of bathroom business before you go. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
The NBC jingle, the more you know. We need that right there. So here's the deal. Mike Scott, we all know what happened at the tailgate. We all know that there was a fight, at least. It's still unclear and who necessarily started it, who necessarily threw the first punch. But before I get into in all this, I do believe there is just a lot of wrong to go around in this scenario. Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
There's a lot of wrong to go around. Whether it's tailgaters, whether it's Mike Scott himself, there's a lot of wrong to go around here. But the second Mike Scott realized things were getting real, he should have left. Now, I talked to somebody who was on the scene earlier and gave me a little background on the tailgaters and the way they were conducting themselves. And then I talked to somebody who was there during the scuffle. They were there from start to finish. Unaware because they were trying to get involved a little bit in this in terms of trying to play peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Unaware of who threw the first punch. Let's put it that way. I've heard that it was somebody from the tailgate. I heard that there was some pushing and shoving, but necessarily the first punch unconfirmed as far as my conversation last night, and I'm still gathering more information on it. But what I do have confirmed so far from the people that I talked to is that the second things got real, Mike Scott, I think, should have left. But from what I heard last night in my conversation, that wasn't a possibility. Mm-hmm. The guy was surrounded. And if you watch the video, there is a sucker punch towards the end. So he might be thinking he's about to get sucker punched because it happens later in the video that got released by TMZ yesterday. So last night I had these conversations with these two people, one that was there before and one that was actually there for the scuffle. I don't know if this is the way that you're supposed to act during a tailgate. It might be over the line. But I have exclusive audio now right before Mike Scott walked up. This is how these guys were acting at the tailgate. Take a listen to this and tell me if you think this is over the line.
The 49ers! Get the out of here, dude! Did you think you were going to skate by? Get the 49ers! Get the out of here!
As I said before, not safe for work.
Cringe.
You tell me. All right. I'm not going to duck it here. I'll answer my own question. I'll go first here in the roundtable. Yeah, over the line.
Over the line.
You want trash talk? You want to say your team sucks? Hilarious. Fine. We're all breaking stones here. But you got, kids go to tailgates.
Yeah.
I mean, families go to tailgates. All right. Wives go to tailgates.
For you to stand up there and think that you're drawing good attention to yourself, what kind of an ass are you?
Yeah.
I'm so cool.
Look
at how cool I am.
There was a Titans fan that walked by. There was a 49ers fan that walked by. And after that is when Mike Scott walked by. The person wasn't recording that sent me the video. And again, the reason I'm not playing or releasing the video is because I think it would be too obvious to these guys who sent it out. So I don't want to put anybody else in harm's way. So I figure on the show, we'll just play the audio. And to me, that's over the line.
Yeah.
The situations he was laying out there, a little over the line. So Mike Scott walks by, as I was told by an eyewitness, walks by, sees the casket, thinks it's funny. The guys see Mike Scott, and apparently not realizing it's Mike Scott, and just see a guy in a Redskins jersey and start breaking stones with him. And they start getting on the microphone and, telling him to get the hell out of here and similar stuff that what you just heard right there. And Mike Scott just thought it'd be funny to take a picture next to the casket. And somebody tweeted me, the casket was over the line. No, I actually thought the casket was kind of funny. Like, that to me is just a funny prop.
They wanted to bring their grandfather to his last tailgate.
That's what they said, I believe, on NBC 10 before all this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were on TV.
Because I saw somebody that posed with a picture, and he's like, oh, I can't believe Eagles fans are great. Somebody wanted to bring their grandfather to this final tailgate.
So he,
and I was like, is there actually a body in there?
Yeah.
It's funny.
But a little weird.
I don't know the rules.
Is that legal?
I don't know the rules.
Can you just hang out with a corpse?
I don't think so either.
I think that's there are laws about corpses.
Yeah, I don't think you can drive around with corpses.
But do you? No. I mean, where do you just get a casket alone like that? I mean,
no idea.
Caskets are expensive too.
Yeah, I mean, you just go to Party City.
I buried
City
a couple of pairs. They're real expensive.
Excuse me, Party City. Can I see the casket section?
Can you let me know the caskets with the gold?
I need
emblem?
A krill. I need a charcoal and a casket, please.
Well, the guy that, as I mentioned yesterday, I just happened to be up and I was watching NBC 10 before I left to go cover tailgates, to go down there. They were interviewed on NBC 10 about the casket. Now, the person that I talked to that gave me a little background said that they were acting extremely rowdy from the get-go, and even more so for a regular tailgate. Apparently, that there's a security guard that always breaks their chops, busts their chops about how they conduct themselves down there. So they had already had some talkings too before all this took place, and they were acting way out of hand. According to this person, the eyewitness I talked to before the Mike Scott fight, before everything took place. Then the second person I talked to that actually gave me the story of what happened said he didn't see who threw the first punch, so he couldn't testify to that to me, so I won't go there. But he did say he did not feel there was a situation or an opportunity for Mike Scott to walk away.
Real quick, we just got a tweet from a guy named Kyle that says, the casket is there every week. I don't know if that's true or false, but just passing it along.
Okay. All right. So who keeps a casket, though?
Even a better question.
So I'm assuming the body's not in there.
No.
Yeah.
But the casket just on, you just walk in the house, casket.
Mm-hmm. So the...
It's kept with the Christmas decorations.
It's all right. I would keep it with the Halloween stuff, but that's just me, I guess.
Honey, have you seen the casket? Going to the Eagles game.
It's a beautiful casket.
What would you do if the casket was missing? Who the hell's playing? The kid's taking the casket? Anyway, so Mike Scott walks in there, and I think shortly thereafter realized this is not where he parked his car. Mm-hmm. All right, this is the wrong party that he's at. Things get said. I was told usage of the racial slur happened after things went down. It was not a cause. Now, I've heard something else. I believe Philly Voice has a different story saying that it did happen before, I believe, is how they outlined it, or at least during the at least physical contact, I guess, before the fight really started, but at least when things started to get physical. So somebody tries to jump in and break it up. A Sixers security guard tries to break it up as well to remove Mike Scott from the situation, and then all the videos that you have seen have come out. The interesting thing that I learned after this was that once everything kind of started to go by the wayside, the gentleman that you just heard just got on the mic again and started yelling things back at Mike Scott, while Mike Scott then ignored that and started taking selfies with people.
Still in the same area.
In the same, walking away from it, but still in that same area of the tailgate. In that little driveway between Wells Fargo Center and Xfinity Live. So Mike Scott starts to walk away from that situation, starts to try to, I guess, defuse it, and people come up to him and like, yo, we realizing who the hell he was, finally, they go, oh, hey, yo, Mike Scott, let me get a selfie. And he's like, sure, bro. And like, taking selfies. And then we see the different selfies he took with different people throughout. That's the story that I got from last night.
Wow.
So you listen to that right there, Trey, I mean...
And by the way, other people have tweeted in, the casket is there every week.
Yeah,
They tend to do themes with it for the other team.
And there's a Dallas Cowboys star on it, correct?
That's what it started with. Yeah, it started at a Cowboys tailgate.
And there was no Sean Taylor jersey ever on the casket.
It was a 1991 jersey.
Please.
Or shirt.
Just stop with that, because that is ridiculous, all right? There's no reason to try to elevate the situation even past where we're already at here.
Somebody said this particular tailgate has been bad apples for a long time.
And that's pretty much what I heard last night as well.
You know what what's really bothering me about this? Is there a chance that these guys that we just played and people out there know who they are and all that are proud of themselves? Hey, we're on the morning show.
Oh, God, I hope not.
That's what I'm saying. I hope to God that somewhere inside they're saying, man, I got to tone it down. Man, I learned my lesson, whatever it may be.
I hope they did.
What's going to happen is you're going to mess around and you're going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to find what you're looking for. You keep popping off at the mouth like that. Everybody isn't going to be so, oh, wait a minute.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
look, again, I'll say this. There's a lot of wrong to go around.
Mike Scott's not the guy you're looking for.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Look, as much as I want to say, yeah, there's an area there where he's just got to realize, as any person who's been in a fight, guy or girl, you know when you've walked into the wrong bar, all right?
Yeah. Yes,
you know when you've walked in the wrong scene.
Yeah.
I have walked into that scene, and I have just flat out said, you know, not that I'm a rebel rouser by any means, but I've been in a situation.
And good day, sir.
Yes, I've been in a situation where I thought we were just breaking stones. There was another fan. I was at this bar years ago and whatever, and I thought we were just, you know, joshing a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy.
Some people not so good at the joshing.
That guy kind of looked at me, and I was like, and you, sir, have a great night. I am not going to get in a
fight. Look like you want a duel. Oh, no.
Yeah, I
will remove my glove and slap you.
That's exactly what he did. Not going to believe it. I was like, oh my God.
You're like, it's 97 degrees out today. Why do you have gloves on?
Did you just come from the Magna Carta signing? Yeah! Historical reference. Anyway, all right. We'll play that exclusive audio for you again a little bit later in the show. You having fun, brother?
I am.
We'll play that audio for you, but Sam, go ahead and give me an update on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation, and it is revolving around Mike Scott today.
This morning we asked, if you were a big fan of Mike Scott before, has this changed your mind? We have just under 1,500 votes today. 86% say no, and we have a lot of comments. Andrew Hughes tweets in, I was there. Those dudes deserved it. It's his guys took some nasty sucker punches, and he gives them props for not escalating it. And then Kevin Guest tweets in, he's on Mike's side. He says, honestly, going into an opposing team stadium dressed in your team's jersey is taking on the fans when outnumbered is the most Philadelphian thing ever. Really, who hasn't had the dream of rolling into Dallas and taking on 10 Cowboys fans? And then Zach Sohn, he tweets in what a lot of people are tweeting in. He says it has changed his opinion, but in a good way. He likes Mike Scott even more now.
Wow! No,
that's what Jamie said, too, right?
A lot of people are with me. I like him even more now.
God bless you all. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll continue to explore this, and also we'll play the audio for you a little bit later, maybe 7:30. And again, over the line or not, you tell me. The people that are tailgaters, the people that are there all the time, you tell me if you're walking by that, are you going a little over the line or not? 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 7:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hey, real quick, before we jump back to the phones here, go watch the games last night. I don't know what it is. As a guy who really can't stay up late for obvious reasons, I love the doubleheader on Monday night.
Yeah, it's good.
The opener, the Monday night opener.
That Houston-New Orleans game was amazing.
It was sick.
It was a really good game. And kudos to ESPN for listening to people. Did you see what they did?
No, what?
So their chyron for the yardage down in distance was yellow.
Yeah.
So it looked like a kind of a penalty flag, chyron flash, constantly.
Oh, yeah.
For the entire first half. And Twitter was going nuts. Like,
okay,
this is horrible. Like, why would you do this? They changed it at halftime.
And can we just real quick, I think moment of silence.
For the yellow chyron?
No, for Jason Witten not being on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, booger.
He caught a touchdown pass on Sunday.
Do you know what career number that was?
Yes, I do.
What was it, Trey?
Would you like? 69.
Nice. Should he not just retire again now?
Yeah, he just walk off.
People were tweeting us that on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's good to be known for something. It's good that our show is known for something. For all those teachers that told me in sixth grade, hey, guess what? Those jokes aren't going to be funny when you're older. Ha!
Yeah.
Well, Don and I were looking at a house. So you guys know we're looking for a house. We're moving out, and I found one the other day, and I said, what do you think of it? And she's looking at it, and she said, oh, seriously? Are you looking at this house just because the address is 69?
That's awesome.
I'm sitting there, buy it. I'm like giggling. She's like, oh, you're such an ass.
When can we help you move?
Exactly. I said, the boys will help us.
Shout out to my sixth grade teacher, Sister Thomas Ann. They're still funny jokes. I don't care how many forget-me-nots you give me. Forget-me-nots was a math problem. Anyway, here's the thing. We're getting a lot into the conduct and all that stuff, but there's the new rule with the Monday night, or excuse me, it came up on Monday Night Football last night.
Yeah,
the first game.
It's weird.
I think this rule has been around for a couple of seasons now.
I think it has.
Because I remember it first coming up when Eli Manning fumbled a ball on Sunday night where he got the first down, didn't necessarily slide. He kind of just, I don't know any other way to describe it. It was awkward. It was Eli Manning. It looked like a giraffe trying to, salsa. Like, it wasn't the most graceful thing you ever seen in your life. And he fumbled the football, and it was a turnover. But they're like, was it a slide? Was it not a slide? So now you can, and it's a dumb rule. It's still considering giving yourself up. Still considered giving yourself up, even though, Trey, you're trying to go for that extra yard.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still trying to be aggressive as a player, but you're not fair game because you're giving yourself up. So that came up on what ended up being, Jamie, the game-winning drive.
Yeah, so Drew Brees basically knew the yardage he had to get to, got the receiver to it, and the receiver smartly just fell down. And because there was 2 seconds left on the clock, they had one timeout left. So, boom, he got to the yardage marker, fell down, and I tweeted out immediately. I was like, why would the Houston DB rush over there to touch him? If he just lets him fall like that, the play's still alive, you could milk those 2 seconds off. And you win.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, because you can give yourself up by falling down, I was unaware of. I thought giving yourself up was only slides.
So here's my question. No. That's the rule. I remember the rule had changed. But it's dumb. And I wasn't thinking of that in that moment.
No, either was I.
So I'm watching it, and I think to myself, oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. So if Zach Ertz, who always gets, if you're going to criticize his game for anything, it's the lack of yards after catch.
Right.
Yeah, so technically, he's giving himself up. Constantly.
Yeah, if he catches the ball and falls, or if you're a receiver and you jump up to catch a ball and no one touches you, are you giving yourself up? Or do you have to, like, take 2 steps and then fall?
This guy didn't even, like, take 2 steps.
No,
he just fell.
He caught the football.
It's a dumb rule.
Idiots. By the way,
another rule to cater to the defense.
Exactly.
You know? Well, New Orleans would have cried to the league offices had they not gotten their way.
Oh, well, they would have went and bought more ref jerseys? And I was like, wow, a lot of people work at Foot Locker or in the stands tonight. That was adorable, wasn't it? All the ref jerseys that were out there?
So you're saying that if once a receiver hits the ground, he can't pop back up and start running again?
Well, that's where the fine line is with that. Because if I'm a receiver, I'll just give myself up, play dead for a second, pop back up and run. Yeah. Gotcha. Like, it's a fine line. It's a stupid rule.
They have to tap out now. So they go down, and if they tap the turf, they're tapping out like MMA, and you're not allowed to hit them.
It's like if you're a kid and you're playing Army. And it's like, you got me. No, you didn't.
Nah, psych.
I got you. I got you. No, you didn't. You know, you missed. Whatever. Let's get to Dennis in Bent Salem. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dennis?
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
Bob Cooney, sir, you buy that house and I will get you the moving company.
Oh, God bless you, Dennis.
I am having the fellas help. I will hire a moving company for you.
Good
sir.
Man, Dennis. Good man.
First, to everybody who said Donovan at the radio station, horrible idea. Donovan is our Howard Stern.
Oh,
not bad.
For those of you who don't remember the scene from Private Parts, Howard Stern's fans listened for an hour and 20 minutes a day because they wanted to hear what he would say next. His haters listened for 2.5 hours because they wanted to hear what he would say next.
Oh my God, Dennis, somebody who gets radio. Thanks, buddy. Well, no, that's a great point. Listen. That's a great point.
Yeah. We're going to listen because for those who like him, we want to hear his input. We want to hear what he has to say. For those who hate him, we want to crush him for what he says. Mm. It's that simple. It's great radio.
Oh, thank you, Dennis. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. As for the Michael Scott thing, I listened to the clip you played, and dudes are way over the line.
Okay.
That's just ridiculous. The issue I have with this, watching the videos yesterday, you can actually hear somebody say, Mike, this isn't a fight you're going to win.
Yeah.
Mike, this isn't a fight you're going to win. Like you said, Mike, you're in the wrong bar, man. Walk away. Like, there's no need for it to get to that level. I've been the opposing fan at other stadiums. You know when stuff's about to go sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Walk away. You're worried you're going to get sucker punched? Back away. I'm not trying to give the fans a pass.
I understand.
A-holes, they were idiots. Who knows who actually started it?
Mm.
But Mike Scott is a public figure. He is a Sixer. He needs to say, you know what? I ain't having it go down like this.
Yeah.
And walk away.
And you know what, Dennis? I agree with that. Now, I will say, and to be fair here, the witness I talked to last night, got the feeling that there was no walking away from this. He was in the middle of that tailgate. He was in the middle of it. People were around him. He was surrounded. But I would have to think there's a moment that you know it's going to go south, as you just said. And Dennis, thanks for the call, man. Always good stuff.
Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate it, man. You as well. Thanks. Sorry to cut you off. You have to think that there was that moment. You got a whiff of, this is not the spot I should be in. And you got to get away. As the guy that's got everything to lose, you got to think to yourself, okay, I walk up, I think this is going to be fun. As we speculated yesterday, it pretty much played out like that.
Mm-hmm.
He walked in thinking, this will be fun. Here we go, guys. First stop, have some beers with these guys, and I'll move on. Or have it as Jack Daniels, and that's it.
No ice, because he ain't no bitch.
He goes in there, and everything's going to be fun. Nope, not the way it happened.
There was a sense, like, he was surrounded. Like, the way the coffin was and where he was, and they did surround him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get where he's coming from.
I do want to say, it wasn't like they circled him, right?
No, but it was, he was enclosed.
He was definitely enclosed, but he walked into that.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Probably under
under
the assumption we're going to have a good time.
Oh, yeah, hey, cool, yeah, these guys are breaking
bones. Yeah, we'll have a drink, take some selfies, and I'm out.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, when you hear the footage that you just played, I can't see this being like a normal, hey, messing around with fans the way they were calling out fans, cursing at fans as they were walking by. I can't see that being a situation where you feel like, oh, these guys are just joking around.
Right.
What they were saying was extremely aggressive.
Yeah.
What they were saying would make you feel like, you know what, if I'm walking in there, I'm walking in there because I know we're about to get into it.
Now, look, I don't even want to assume, but apparently what drew Mike Scott to the tailgate wasn't anybody on the microphone. It was the casket.
Yeah.
And he saw that, thought it was funny, and then he heard people yelling at him. He might have already been there when they started trash talking him. Now, I don't know. I know that what drew him there wasn't necessarily those guys trash talking. It was the casket.
Yeah.
Now, as he was approaching,
I had heard that he was called out, not as Mike Scott, but as Redskins
but,
fan.
But the question then is, how close was he to the tailgate?
I don't know.
So the way it was relayed to me last night was that the first thing he saw was the casket. He started approaching the casket, and that's when people started calling him out.
Who from around here doesn't know who the hell Mike Scott is?
So the person that I talked to last night said, I bet you these were the only guys at that tailgate that would not be able to identify Mike Scott.
Trey, there are some Eagles fans that don't necessarily support Sixers basketball, if you pick up what I'm throwing down.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yep.
But I mean...
Good code.
But even when you're watching the news or anything that happens... You gotta know, I mean, this is a 6'9 Redskins guy. I mean, with all the tattoo emojis, and you know who Mike Scott is.
Mm.
Yeah, if you're a sports fan, it's awfully hard not to know who he is.
How do you not know who that is?
I mean, if these guys are Eagles fans, they're getting their knowledge from somewhere. Well, somewhere in picking up that knowledge, that had to come across that Mike Scott was going to the Eagles game.
Yeah, I
don't know.
All right, here's the exclusive audio again. Now, if you're driving the kid to school right now...
If my wife knows that Mike Scott was going to an Eagles tailgate, every sports fan in Philadelphia should probably have gotten wind of it at some point.
I agree with you. here's the exclusive audio that one of the witnesses, who I ended up knowing, a small world, as you say. What does Eileen Lynch like to say, Jamie?
Philadelphia is the biggest small city in the world.
And I agree with that. Here is the exclusive audio we got from an eyewitness. Now, this is moments before Mike Scott... walked up to the tailgate just to give you a sample of how these guys were treating out-of-towners. A Titans fan walked by and a San Francisco fan walked by on Sunday. Here's the exclusive audio of that tailgate that got involved in a little scuffle, as we saw with Mike Scott, moments before Mike Scott approached. You tell me if it's over the line.
It's 49ers! Get the out of here, dude! Did you think you were going to skate, Mike?
That's the, you tell me if that's over the line.
Incredibly, and the PA makes it 10 times more over
the
line.
You would say that into a microphone.
Yeah. I want everybody to hear me. I'm proud of myself. Listen to what I'm spewing.
And then you could hear in the audio when the fight does start moments later, because then Mike Scott walked up moments later, saw the casket, started walking up. He started getting called out by those guys, gets in the middle of things, and then everything that you've seen in the video takes place. As soon as it was over... Mike Scott and some of the other people, as I was told by the eyewitness, somebody was like, oh, all right, Mike Scott, knowing who the hell he was, they're like, can I get a selfie? And he started taking selfies with people.
Yeah.
And that's apparently when the guy got on the microphone again and then started with the racial slur. That was the chronology as it was described to me. You tell me if that's over the line. Mike and KOP, what's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
Just real quick, I know you want to talk about McNabb, but real quick, what is that over the line or not?
Oh, what the guy was saying was over the line, but I think Mike Scott has to think about situations. He's a public figure. He has to be a little more discretionary. I know he wants to be a man of the people, but really, athletes aren't men of the people anymore. They're a different level, and they've got to exercise a little better caution.
No, look, I agree with that to a point, but I'll say this, and you didn't say this in your argument, and I didn't mishear you, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but a lot of people have come out with the defense of, oh, well, what do you expect when you wear a different team's jersey? Really? An excuse? Are you making an excuse for this behavior? Seriously?
I mean, I do think Mike Scott was probably trying to get a reaction out of people just a little bit.
Right.
I don't think he was trying to, he was probably just trying to poke fun, but I don't think he was trying to get into this. But he has to think about who he is and what he has to protect. These idiots probably don't have anything to worry about losing, but he has a lot to lose. So he has to think, he has to be the person that thinks things through a little bit better. That's just my opinion.
Understood. But, go ahead. What do you got on McNabb, brother?
So here's the thing. It sucks that, we hate McNabb. McNabb could cure cancer tomorrow. I'd still be like, whatever, McNabb. You're still a loser. Still play air guitar before a playoff game. And that sucks because, at one point, he was awesome. And he was tough. He played on a broken ankle and threw four touchdowns. There's so much to like about this guy. but he ruins it with his mouth. Like, he ruins everything with his social anxiety disorder and his stupid
mouth. I don't want to go diagnosing the guy.
Well, he's just so awkward. How about that? He's awkward.
Yes.
And then he ruins everything by, like, he's just such a, like, a sad individual. Why doesn't everybody love me? Just shut up. We love you. We forget about everything, and we just love you. But he has to continue to talk and put himself out there, and it just ruins everything.
I think, Mike, and thanks for the call, brother. With Donovan and Trey, this is how it came from a fan's perspective. I think I'm along the lines of a lot of people. Donovan came out first couple of years. You're thinking, oh my God, look what we have. This is incredible. This quarterback's going to be great if he just gets better at X, Y, and Z. We're definitely winning the Super Bowl, at least one in Philadelphia. Yeah. But, like, the worm burners, as everyone wants to talk about, never really improved. The touch passes never really improved. He wanted to stop running as a quarterback, which was a God-given talent that we wanted to see him do. Mm-hmm. And then not just the Super Bowl and the way it ended, but also the whole T.O. fiasco. Especially when you're saying you're not going to get the I don't get involved in other people's contract negotiations. And then, like, a couple of weeks later, Brian Westbrook has a contract negotiation, and he's like, well, I got to have B. West. Mm-hmm. That's where I think, like myself, as a football fan, I was like, I don't know if this Donovan guy's got it. And that's where people, I think, started jumping ship on Donovan. That's just from a fan's perspective. And I asked Donovan about the disconnect when we had him back in April, and we had the interview with him, and I said, right, you know, you have this great disconnect. It's probably the greatest disconnect between an athlete of any accomplishment in a city like you have and the fan base. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from? He just generally said, he said that there was a lot of things that go into it, but maybe he's like Eric Lindros. Those were his words. Mm-hmm. There's been, I believe, we've made amends, I thought, with Eric Lindros.
Yeah,
the standing
I think so
ovation
too.
At the Winter Classic when they took on the Rangers at mm-hmm. Citizens Bank Park in the alumni game was phenomenal.
Well,
water under the bridge now.
You know what went a long way towards that was Bobby Clark.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Him burying the hatchet that way. And I don't know if Donovan's there where somebody could help bridge that gap. I just think the gap is you know, too wide, and he's just that lightning rod that this city. You know, as we've talked about, what he says, you're either going to agree with or you're going to listen because you want to hate him.
Exactly. Joe, West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, you know, what's up, fellas? Another thing about that, what you just said, I think a lot of people need to know what Eric Lindros sound like. You know what I'm saying?
Understood.
But my thing with the Mike Scott thing is that a lot of fans in Philadelphia, they really have an inmate jailhouse mentality, man. You can see these fans at different events all through the city, man. It's just, a lot of them got a jailhouse attitude, a jailhouse mentality. You know, everything is, you know, eye for eye and things like that. And I think that's the type of fans he went against. But, I mean, how do they not know he's Mike Scott? I mean, if there's any kind of make a friendly rivalry, or, you know, to change the setting of things, I mean, I think that would be the time to do it. I mean, like you said, he's 6'8". Everybody knows Mike. I mean, he has a lot of respect on his name for the short time he's been here. And the thing about the fight, I think, is he came here with security. I mean, you're about to get whipped on, and you come with security. So, of course, I have no problem with him throwing punches or trying to, you know, survive his thing.
Let me put it this way. Again, I talked to an eyewitness last night that said there was no wiggling out of this for Mike Scott. For me, who wasn't there, I still can't help reserve some doubt that as an athlete in Philadelphia, you gotta know when you have everything to lose, the last thing you want to do is get yourself on camera, on film, whatever, on somebody's phone, throwing punches with fans.
You know what? I think if it was maybe another athlete or another basketball player, maybe they would not, you know, they would probably walk the other way, but they just got the wrong type of bat. You know, he had that mentality. He got the same mentality as, you know, at those guys. I think sometimes fire just means fire. And you know, it gets out of control. Because the way that guy was talking, I mean, would you think it was kind of a way out? He sounds like the way he's talking, it sounds like it might have been no way out. And he's still talking.
Yeah, I hear you. And Joe, thanks for the call, man. I get you. Yeah. I can't get over any situation you've ever been in where you felt like something bad was about to happen. Like, you kind of have that bad feeling. And you got to go, this is not the place for me. Mm-hmm. And you got to recognize that and you got to get out of it. If people there are telling me, there was no opportunity, I still find it hard to believe, but I got to give you the eyewitness account.
Real quick, one of the things that always goes into my mind, professional athletes like Trey, not only are they so physically gifted at what they do and it allows them to become, there's also that ultimate competitive nature that they have. Mm-hmm. That could come into play.
It certainly could.
You know, your challenge is a man.
610-632-0975. Coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk to Jason Stark, run through some more calls regarding Mike Scott and this Eagles situation. Some bad news we got regarding the Birds yesterday. Time of the Fanatic is 742.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Something made me sad, Trey. Something made me very sad yesterday listening to Doug Peterson's press conference. So I told you I got a little man crush on Malik Jackson. I got a little bromance going on. Malik Jackson really likes Malik Jackson.
Does he know?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that one way?
I don't feel like, you know, I don't want to be a clinger. Like, I don't want to just tell him that right out of the gate, you know? I don't want to be desperate. Come on, guys.
You don't want to give him, like, one in a million talk?
Exactly. And also, it's the way he plays the game. Like, the guy plays all out all the time.
He's got, like, DN speed at D-tackle.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So I was really excited to see him team up with Fletcher Cox and see them just wreak havoc. And then Tim Jernigan's returning as well, right? So Doug Peterson says yesterday during the press conference, that Malik Jackson fella, pretty much out indefinitely. Don't know when we're going to see him again, if we do see him again.
So Dr. David Chow, he's the former, I think Trey knows him from the brief cup of coffee with the Chargers, the former Chargers team.
Yeah, surgery. He did one of my surgeries.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he diagnoses, and granted, it's on Twitter and just watching video. He watched the Malik play and thought it was the Liz Frank.
I love how you say that.
Yeah, why do you put the stank on it?
Frank.
Because she's... How do you not put a little French stank on it?
I don't know.
All right.
Liz Frank.
Don't you call it Frank and try to cheer me up, all right? I'm depressed. I'm upset about this. And here's the main reason.
Sucks.
Now, obviously, I'm upset because you haven't exactly invested a lot in the D-end position,
mm-hmm.
meaning that, oh, well, we got a great interior of the defensive line. That'll be a little bit of a curve to be able to grade our D-ends on. Derek Barnett will have to worry so much about, you know, getting around the edge when he's got so many people focused on the center of that line, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the case anymore. Tim Jernigan's still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, Malik Jackson.
Stud muffin, please.
Yeah. Stud, I'm sorry.
Don't put stud muffin.
Stud muffin, stud muffin proper. My apologies.
Stud muffin got a sack.
And then Stud muffin got himself a sack.
Yeah.
He got all up in that. But when you look at the corners in this situation, they struggled, and that defensive line can help out those corners a lot. And
actually, now corners have to help out the D line, because you say, all right, because and this is the reason I say it like that, because people will say, all right, the D line has to help out the corners. Well, if the pass is getting off at 1.8, 2.1. then that means that the coverage needs to be tighter in order for the defensive line to be able to get there. I don't care who you put, if the quarterback is getting rid of the ball at 1.9, anything over under 2.2, you need coverage to be a little bit more physical to throw the timing off so that you give that defensive line time to get there.
How come they never press? Never, ever, ever press.
Yeah. I don't know.
And you know, Doug talked about that yesterday, Bob, to your point. You were talking about getting pressure and trying to get at the Case Keenum on Sunday, and it was non-existent. The ball was gone in a second and a half. Like, mm-hmm. Doug was like, yeah, you could be Reggie White, and you ain't getting there in a second, right?
No.
The ball was gone in a second and a half. So I hear what you're saying, a little press coverage, maybe help out that defensive line. But from what I was watching on Sunday, are you confident the corners are going to be able to buy time for the defensive line?
They're going to have to, because...
I hope they do, but are you confident?
No, I'm not, but they're going to have to. I would like to see them get up there and be a little bit more physical. At least get, because you have an athletic defensive line. You have a very good group that can get after the quarterback, but you have to give them time to get there. Mm. You know, because they are playing against them. Unless you just got a slappy out there as an offensive line that's just going.
I love when you use these football terms to talk over my head.
No, slappy's good.
Yeah, okay.
I believe Lombardi loved it.
so So, you know, if that's just going to lay down, you know, you need somebody that you know. And also, too, now, Keenum did a really good job of working that pocket. He did not drift back. Anytime he did his step progression, he hit the point, and then he stepped up into the line and stepped into the pocket. He wasn't one that kept drifting back. Like, nah, he stepped into the pocket, made his reads, and let the ball go. But, you know, you're going to need that secondary to be a little bit more physical. They need to get up in the face of the receivers to throw the timing out to give that defensive line a chance.
Yeah, I hope that. And even the touchdown pass to Vernon Davis where the defense just broke down, Case Keenum rolled to his right. Mm-hmm. Like you talk about manipulating the pocket. He got out of the pocket when he needed to as well. Yeah. So it was just disappointing. And to now not have Malik Jackson for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
When the defense already looked like they struggled so much, and they did a lot better after the first three possessions by the Skins on Sunday, and I'm not ignoring that. But now you're going to go face a pretty damn good quarterback in Matt Ryan. You're going to face some weapons, Julio Jones being one of them. You're going to face some guys that can stretch that field. You better be ready for that. You better get some pressure.
And you're going up against another group that's struggling protecting as well. I mean, they just gave up 4 sacks last week. You know, so Matt Ryan, and, you know, let's see, after their second preseason game, they damn near had to take Ryan out of there because whoever they were playing against was just teeing off on him. Yeah. This offensive line is not good at protecting again. So that's why I was so shocked when I looked at this offensive line from Washington. I thought we were going to go out there and feast against these guys, but they did not. They came to play. Our secondary didn't help us at all.
Yeah, we're going to try to get a little Atlanta inside information on the show later this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
Two people, really. We're going to get Fred Gedeli on the show from NBC Sunday Night Football, the producer extraordinaire, Jamie and I, our former boss, a guy I'll still run through a brick wall for to this day.
Very intimidating to work for.
Scariest man I ever worked with, and I mean that with the most respect on it you could ever imagine.
Runs a tight ship.
A little bit. Everybody's
That's why they're number one in, you know, all of television.
Yeah, pretty much. American Idol, I never even heard of it compared to the numbers that they get. But anyway. Neither here nor there. We're going to talk to him a little bit, but also we want to talk to a man that I will only refer to this week as Bullet Wound.
Yes.
And I want to see Senor Bullet Wound.
Best nickname ever.
Senor Bullet.
Is he friends with Senor Ron Mexico?
Yeah, I don't think so.
No?
But I did text him. I said, Senor. My text to him this morning was Senor.
We need a hangout with Trey and Bullet Wound.
I'll just sit and watch the show.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to be a fly on the wall.
I just please drink in my hand, and I will maybe.
Because drinking with Bullet Wound, that's a good time.
Trey, do you know on or off the record? Can you tell me if he still drinks like a 21-year-old frat boy?
I'm pretty sure he does.
That's about right.
Jaeger?
Yeah. Jaeger in Yingling. I ain't hating him.
I just got chills saying Jaeger.
610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute here, we're going to jump back to the phones in a second, but we're also going to talk to Jason Stark from The Athletic. He's going to join us and talk about all things Phillies. But, you know, let's take Corey. He's been waiting here. Corey in Williamstown. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
First off, I want to give a shout-out to Socko Taco. But I want to talk about this weekend. You guys were talking about gaps in the defense, and I called last week, and I said I think it had to do with this.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.